You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Amara Gay.
Radio show, and I'm your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, evangelist, and producer of the award-winning docudramedy STEM, The Movement. And you know what I love to do? I love to help people see things differently. I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of a situation, the better the vantage point, so that you can make informed decisions. You see, I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas. And I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to share and teach. I love serving Maravation. It's the perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. You see, I believe some of the greatest people in the world are only one word of encouragement away from being and doing something meaningful. I think if more people would get outside of themselves and their situations and just look up, speak up, call up and into the lives of other people, we would experience a more productive world around us. So I do this show, OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show, on Thursdays, and you can also catch the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and the Stitcher app. And so on tonight, I thought it would be lovely if we had a conversation about hope. How many times have people felt hopeless in a situation? How many times have you felt so like you're drowning in a sea of hopelessness? You know, without hope, it seems like you feel like you're stuck in quicksand, like you don't know how to move forward, or you feel like it's extremely hard or extremely difficult. And a lack of hopelessness can feel like despair. It can even cause depression, which is an inward action to yourself that causes you to not even want to wake up for your day-to-day. Or sometimes you wake up sad, or you wake up crying, or you wake up so heavy that you're wondering how you're going to get through the day. And so I thought if we just unpacked hope, you know, the word talks about hope doesn't disappoint. I don't believe hope disappoints. And I think you have to intentionally, or rather be intentional about focusing on hope. And I'm not trying to make it some hocus pocus pie in the sky situation, but have you ever felt like you were in a situation and you just couldn't see your way out? Maybe your money got funny. Maybe you had so many bills that you couldn't see your way out of it, and you were hopeless in your finances. Or perhaps you were in a relationship, and the relationship started going south. Maybe you wanted to stay, and your mate or your spouse didn't want to stay. And no matter what you said or what you did, there didn't seem to be a solution that would cause you to stay in the relationship or cause the relationship to even want to get back on track. Or perhaps you're feeling hopeless in your career. You know, maybe you're in a job or a profession and it's just not satisfying. It doesn't feel rewarding. You're going at it every single day, but for some reason, you can't seem to make the strides that you want to make, or there's a ceiling and you can't be promoted to that next level. I don't know what your hopeless situation is. I don't know what you may be struggling with currently, but I'm doing this show both two ways, on air, of course, via uptomeradio.com, and I'm also sharing it with my Facebook audience live. And so I'm going to be interacting and ask you to share with me some of the ways you get over feeling hopeless. And there's a couple of ways you can do that. If you're on Facebook Live, you can simply chat it in the comment section, and I'll go ahead and filter your questions, your suggestions, and or your comments. If you are listening via Up to Me Radio, you can call in. The phone number is 347-324-5246, 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into the queue, and we can have a conversation about it. So let me tell you guys about a story when I was I felt hopeless. I was at a very, very rough patch. This was about 14 years ago. About 14 years ago, I was in the entertainment industry, which some of you know and some of you may not. I'm an actress and I'm an author. And as an actress, I've had parts in lots of different film, television, voiceover projects. But I don't know if you've ever felt like you were working diligently towards something, and for whatever reason, you couldn't seem to make stride. It didn't feel like you were making progress in it. You know, right after the collapse in the 2000s, when we were falling off the cliff, it seemed financially, I couldn't buy a vowel. You know, churches were hurting, so I wasn't being invited in to do ministry. Businesses were hurting, so my product wasn't moving off the shelves. As an actress, a lot of the African-American actresses that had been on major shows, everything from Martin to Living Single, those actresses were now being put in a space that I had been dominating for years, voiceovers. So they were now doing voiceovers. And then reality TV shows started exploding. So Screen Actors Guild actors or union actors we're all trying to vie for the same roles. In that season where the phone wasn't ringing like it used to, and I used to pride myself on multiple streams of income, and I still do believe in them and still do have a few going on, but at that particular juncture, I had about 6 or 7 streams of income. I was working in the trade show industry. I was working in ministry. I was acting, doing television as well as film, and I was doing voiceovers. And, of course, I was an author, so I was speaking, and I was a recording artist, so I was performing. I had all of these different streams of income taking place, but during this particular time when the financial situation was as it was nearly impossible to be able to stay employed. And I don't know if you understand what that means or what that feels like, but to not know if you were going to have coming in, I had a house. I had a mortgage, in California mortgage. I woke up to darkness. I woke up to despair. But what I want to tell you is when I couldn't figure out how to balance my checkbook because I couldn't rob Peter to pay Paul anymore and I couldn't figure out where the finances were going to come from, what I do know is God gave me the ability to balance my ideas and my time in order to create. So I used that season where the phone wasn't ringing off the hook and where I wasn't going out being booked and I wasn't going on sets. I used that season of what could be considered darkness. It was almost as if I was hidden. It could be considered darkness, but instead of it being darkness, I actually parlayed that into a purposeful season of writing and content creating, which is partly why I was able to come back into the industry with content. And that's important for anybody. No matter what your lull is, no matter what your hopeless situation may feel like, I want to encourage you that even if your phone isn't ringing off the hook, there's always something of value in your vessel. I'm sure you're familiar with the woman who was about to sell her sons into slavery because her husband had died and he owed some debt. I'm sure you're very familiar with her. It's about the woman when she went to the prophet, he said, what do you have? And she says, I have nothing but a little oil. It's that but. It is that one word but that can transform your reality, your current situation. That one word called but can parlay you into something amazing. That particular lady, the prophet told her, what do you have? She says, I have nothing but a little oil. He says, go and get your son and go collect as many vases, as many containers as you can. And I want you and your son to go into a room and I want you to pour. And I don't want you to stop. I don't want you to leave that room until you have finished, until it is done. And he said, don't get a few containers. Don't get a few vases, but get as many as you can collect. Well, her and her sons went into that room and they poured and they poured and they poured and they poured until she says, bring me another vase. And they said, there aren't any more. And the oil stopped. Well, she took that oil, and she was able to take that oil, sell it, pay off all her debts. Her and her son lived off of it for the rest of their lives. Now, why would I give you such a story, Bible story? Because I'm here to remind somebody in your darkest moments, in a moment or a space where you feel like despair is greeting you at the door every single day, I'm here to remind you that God has a plan and a purpose for you. Jeremiah 29:11 talks about that plan. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans to prosper you, plans to bring about an expected end, which means in the end you win. But how do you get to that plan? I'm glad you asked. Well, hope, because hope doesn't disappoint. If you can muster up the energy and the strength to either create, muster up the energy and the strength to write out a plan, or muster up the energy and the strength to think about collaborating, and these are all business or financial ventures, you can get yourself out of that situation. There is nothing new under the sun. The word tells us there's nothing new under the sun. So whenever I've fallen into hopelessness, or whenever I hear of somebody in hopelessness, I am reminded that God will turn everything around for my good. Every single thing. That's every setback, every delay, every sad situation. And I don't know if some of you that are tuned in right now, listening in or joining me on Facebook Live, if you've had a situation where you felt hopeless, where you felt like you were depressed or downtrodden or even depressed. If that's you and you have a story that you'd like to share, I want to invite you to call in at 347-324-5246, and we're going to talk about it. You know, there's a lot of things taking place in the media. I know you guys have been all over the stories that are taking place. There's a couple of major stories that are breaking, and I'm in Chicago right now, and so I know you've probably heard of some of the things that are taking place, but I want to encourage you, even that young man, you know, and I know you guys know what I'm talking about, even in the Jussie Smollett situation and case, I'm sure it looks bleak. I'm sure he's questioning if it be true, every decision he ever made, you know, and I don't know if you heard the Chicago police chief discussing the case today. I thought he spoke very eloquently. I thought his information and instructions were very clear, very pointed, very thoughtful. He was unapologetic in how he felt about resources being directed in one area when they could have perhaps been in another area. But even in that situation, which to our naked eye, if it be true, would appear to be a very hopeless situation. But even in that situation, if surrendered properly, and I'm not talking just surrendering to the officials, but if the situation of the heart, because it's a heart issue, when we're in hopelessness, when we're feeling hopeless, is knowing that we have a God who owns everything, a God of abundance, a God who delights and takes great joy in blessing us and prospering us. When we're feeling hopeless, then we know that that's not God's plan. We know that that's not what he has for us. We know that that's not the end of a situation. But in that moment, when you can't see tomorrow and when you can't see where your next paycheck's going to come from, or you can't see your way out of debt, or you can't see how that relationship is going to be healed, or you can't see after the third or the fourth miscarriage of how you might be able to carry a child, or you can't see why or how your daughter or your son, why they're incarcerated or how they're going to get out of jail, I am here to remind you that God is with you even in that situation. Surrender it. Surrender it to him, because worrying about it isn't going to fix it. Stressing about it will only cause you more hurt and harm and damage to your body, to your heart. So God says give that over to him. So tonight I want you guys to chime in. Hey, you guys, I know quite a few people have joined the conversation on Facebook Live. If you've got a question or a comment about hope or hopelessness or depression, go ahead and chat that to me. And if you're listening to OMG via Up To Me Radio or iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher app later, you can always chat your questions to us, but also you can call in now, 347-324-5246. Of course, my name is Mara Gale. You're listening to the OMG Omara Gale Show that takes place every single Thursday night. So how many people out there have ever felt hopeless? Have you ever felt like you didn't have a reason to wake up? You know, I've shared with you guys that I've had those moments where I just couldn't see how it was going to turn out. I've got a comment from Pastor Jono. He says, hopelessness breeds hopeless mess called hate. You can fall into hatred of self, hatred of others, and hatred of God. He says, for him, he says, I chose education as a tool to help himself out of hopelessness. He said he felt himself hating. So don't hate, educate. And that's the truth. When you're in hopelessness, you can look at other people, see what they have going on, and the next thing you know, you're either jealous or you're hating on it, wondering why they're doing something, and then you're trying to tear them down or throw shade on a situation because you're not thriving or you're not doing as well as you'd like. I've had another person say, I felt hopelessness in my past. I have as well, Vivian, and it's a real situation when you feel hopelessness. You know, I don't even know how to explain to people. When you feel that kind of downtrodden situation, I can call it a couple of things. When you feel like that, it's such a downward inward situation, one of the other things that I do when I feel that way is I volunteer. I give. I serve. There is no better remedy, no better antidote for when you are feeling depressed, when you are feeling sad, when you are feeling hopeless than to sow into other people's lives. Because the moment you take the attention and the focus off of you, your situation, your lack of resources, your lack of, or whatever that situation is, the moment you get outside of your little bubble and your pity party, and it could be real, don't get me wrong, I'm not minimizing it, but what I am saying is the moment that I take my attention off of me, myself, and what I do not have, and begin to focus in on what someone else may be in need of, that I am in abundance. I am in abundance of joy. I am in abundance of love. I am in abundance of peace. I am in abundance of talents. God has given me some talents, some gifts. He's given me some creative things that I can share with people. So in those moments where I feel like my phone wasn't ringing because I wasn't getting the acting jobs and I wasn't getting the ministry jobs and I wasn't earning the kind of finances that I was used to doing trade shows, God revealed to me, Mara, what do you have to give? Like the woman with the oil, I had talent. I could go and do poetry. I can go and encourage. I can go and sit and talk to people. I can go to senior citizens facilities, which I did do, polishing nails, plucking eyebrows, reading stories. I've got a voice. I could go to the library. I could volunteer for the blind and the deaf and read books and stories. There is a plethora and abundance of things inside of me that I can give when nobody's calling me and when I am feeling hopeless. So I want to encourage you. The next time you feel like you don't have anything to give, the next time you feel like you're at a loss or a lack and you're hoping or wishing that there was something that you had of value, I want to remind you God didn't create a mess. I want to remind you to start searching yourself. What do you have to give? Is there anything you can sow into that you'd like to grow into? Maybe you start volunteering with the speaker who is being booked. Maybe you start asking the actress who's actually on set if you can be her reader to help them learn their lines. That's going to help you sharpen your tools. Or perhaps there's you've got your eye in ministry, and maybe you go and start serving at a church, volunteering in any way that you can. I just want to encourage you. You are never at a loss or a lack of something of value. Even when it feels like the world isn't calling on you or you're not getting the kind of money that you believe you're worth for your skill or your talent, there's always somebody who wishes they were in your shoes. There's always someone out there hoping and praying they could have just what's in your pinky finger. Because if they had what's in your pinky finger, they'd feel like a success story. And so the next time that you find yourself in a hopeless situation or feeling depressed or downtrodden, I want you to sow your way out of it. I want you to spread seeds of love and spread seeds of gracefulness and spread seeds of your talent, your gifts, your abilities, those things that you may naturally do, or perhaps those things that you have studied to show yourself approved at or even been paid as a professional to do. Maybe you have a gift with writing or a gift with words. There are so many newspapers, articles, magazines that you can send queries to. And even now, you can go online, create blogs, and write for traveling newspapers and magazines. There's all kinds of ways for you to generate income. There's all kinds of ways for you to see that your talent can be valued by other people. And so I just want to challenge you to get outside the box of your mind. Get outside the box of your mind and balance your ideas and your time. That's what I'd like to encourage you to do. And I hope at some point or something that is said during this live show will encourage you so that the next time you fall into a situation, you know, diverse temptation or depression, that you really do count it all joy. You know, it says when you fall into diverse temptation, to count it all joy. And to be able to count it all joy, it means that you have to add some things to you. Counting all things joy means you get to add some things to you. Add some things to you, like what, you may ask. I'm glad you asked. You get to add a deeper trust and dependence on God. I don't know about you, but when I feel like I don't have anything, I know that I have him. When I feel like I don't have enough money to do X, Y, and Z, I get to add a different dependence on God because he gives me my daily bread. Yes, he does. He wakes me up every single day, and I'm sitting there going, if I'm awake and I'm alive, that in itself is a gift. I may not have the kind of numbers in a bank account, but I've got life. I've got air in my lungs. So I have to refocus my energy, refocus my attention on the things that really do matter. So when you count it all joy, you add to you a different trust in God. You add a different dependency on God and his word. I don't know about you, but when I'm counting it all joy in the midst of some devastating, diverse temptation or some devastating reality or situation, I spend more time with God. I don't know about you. I'm just telling the truth. When things get bad, it's like I'm really at a loss. I can't understand it. And so I'm like, Lord, please tell me what is it I need to do? Show me me in this situation. Show me how to get out of this situation. Yes, Angie, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. When we are at our weakness, he is showing himself the strongest. That's just how our daddy is. Yes, he is the air in my lungs. And your mother-in-law says oxygen, mother-in-law on oxygen fighting to breathe. You know, I have this whole little piece I do on that. I may have to share that with you one day. One of the Facebook viewers just chimed in on that. I'm going to go to a quick break, take a couple of sips. We'll be right back. Excuse me. You're listening to OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show. I'll be right back.
I'm probably okay to have one more drink before I drive home. I'm probably okay. I open the window to stay alert.
Probably okay. I just popped some gum in my mouth.
Step out of the car, please.
I probably made a mistake.
Probably okay isn't okay when it comes to drinking and driving. If you see a warning sign, stop and call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to OMG. Had a little... I got it. Thank you, my sweetheart. My husband was like, you okay? I'm good. Thank you. Yeah, something went down the wrong pipe. I was trying to catch a cold, but of course, I loosed that thing, so we ain't catching that. But my throat has not been 100% since it was trying to creep up on me. So we're back from the break. Welcome back to OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, and tonight's show is about hope. And, you know, I just got to pause for the cause. How sweet and lovely it is that I am coughing on air, and I, of course, go immediately to a commercial break, and my executive producer knew to do that. And while I'm trying to take a sip of tea and drink some water, I hear the door open because it's my husband caring about me. I don't know. That may mean nothing to you. But to know that somebody cares for you, to know that someone is about you, and to know that someone would take time to not only hear and listen to my show, but not wait around to hear that I'm back on air with my windpipe clear, but to come and see about me. That's God. That's you know, it talks about, I'm not going to tarry on it too much, but I'm so blessed by it. You know, it talks about your husband loving you like Christ loved the church. My husband loves me like Christ loves the church. So that's a PSA from the January household, just to say I am a blessed woman, and I don't take it for granted. And I'm so grateful, because back in the day, I can remember one of the things I was sad and depressed about years ago was I was going through a horrific divorce and balled up in a knot, you know, in the bed, just, you know, not wanting to get out of the covers, not wanting to open the blinds, playing loops of things that someone said about me, you know, in my mind that I knew weren't true. But, you know, you hear a thing long enough and you begin to wear it. You start putting it on every day when you go out of the house, you sitting it on and, you know, putting it on every single day. And so I remember when things were so dark and so lonely and so sad. But while I was in that moment, that sad moment, that depressed moment where I didn't want to let the sun shine in, God was preparing somebody for me over here that I had no idea was being prepared for me. So that, even in that, it tells me God's intention. It tells me God's purpose. It tells me that in the midst of whatever situation, circumstance we find ourselves in, before we become pregnant with that problem, God has already given birth to our solution. I'll give that to you one more time. Before you become pregnant with a problem, God has already, as in past tense, given birth to your situation. Now, it may not manifest this right away, but I promise you, it's on the way. That's how much he loves you. He loves you that much that while you are weeping, while you are crying, while you are bleeding out, while you are sitting in a dark room in the fetal position with the curtains closed because you don't want to let the sun shine in, God is over on the other side manufacturing, working out, packaging, positioning something just for you with your name on it that will love you, that will care about you, or a job that will value you, that will respect you, that will celebrate you and not tolerate you. I don't know what it is you're waiting for. I don't know what your hopeless situation is or what your hopeless situation was, but I double dog dare you. If you would get outside of your situation and begin to sow into somebody's life or begin to speak hope and life over that thing, and I'm not talking about a name it, claim it situation, but I am talking about confess the thing that you want to take place. Because the one thing that I know for sure is what you give your attention to, it will come and live in you. And the thing you do not give your attention to will leave. Try not brushing your teeth for 3 years. You will be snaggitude. You will be full of, your mouth will be void of teeth. Try not bathing for a year. You will be void of friendships. Try not paying your mortgage for a year. You'll be void of a home of which you live in. Try not changing the oil in your car or not getting a tune-up or getting your tire. You will be without a vehicle. So that, if you don't give your attention to, you lose it. And the same comes true with the things you do give your attention to. What you focus on comes into view. I focus on the word. I get to study the word. I go to church on Sundays. I get to hear the word rightly divided so that I can grow in him. I tithe. I watch my money grow. I spend time with friends. I have valuable friendships. I have people who really sow into my husband. My husband sows into me. Whatever you want to grow into, I double dog dare you to sow into that thing. All of that because my husband can't check on me. Praise the Lord. Hey, Dave. It's an amazing thing how it works. It's a cause and an action, you know. And so I'm asking you guys, if you've got a question, if you've got a comment, please feel free to call in. The phone number is 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into the queue. I'd love to hear what's on your heart about hope. And if you felt hopeless, if you felt depressed, if you want to jot some of that down, go ahead and chat that on the comments on Facebook Live. I'm taking comments. I'm taking questions. Thank you, Rosie Reed. People are chiming in saying they love it. Praise the Lord. Bless you, Alfredo. Bless you, Jackie, saying it means so much to them and that it's beautiful. Pastor Jay is right on time. Yes, he is. That is your Pastor Ladia. You are absolutely right. I'm excited for this platform because, again, when the studios weren't calling me before I was doing, you know, right now the Lord has had me in a season of reveal, but I was hidden for a season. Now, I didn't call it being hidden. I called it unemployed because I was hoping that I'd have an opportunity to audition, and now I'm auditioning a lot. I've got a film coming out the end of March with Lawrence Fishburne. I play his wife. I've got another film that I'm shooting the middle of March called The Oath. I'm shooting that in Atlanta. I just did a recurring role on Saints and Sinners last year. Excited about it. Got to play a character that had a wonderful arc to her. I just got cast on another TV show, a Steven Spielberg show that I tape next week. And so I'm saying all of this. Why? It's no brag. You know, my husband, Pastor January, said something like, no brag, just that. It was from some, I think, a TV show. But I'm mentioning that to say, when I was down to nothing, when I couldn't get a casting director to say, hey, I want to book you. I couldn't get a studio to call me up. I never stopped doing was audition. What I knew how to do was continue to put myself out there. What I knew how to do was motivate and inspire and do whatever I could. I made this particular show, you know, we have sponsors for the show, but that wasn't my primary focus. My focus became how do I become a bridge to get a message through me to you? How do I take some of the past pain and hurt and trial and tribulation that I lived through and put it on display, peel off my black woman Band-Aid, show you my cuts, my scars, my bruises, and my aches, allow you to see them, not just so that you see them and you can go, ew, ew, but so that I can heal. Because when air hits a thing, you begin to heal. And when you see that you're not alone, when you see that somebody else has been in the same situation or worse, you begin to realize, you know what, I can make it through this. That's what we do to each other when we share our testimonies, when we're transparent enough to reveal our pains and our flaws and our Achilles heel and stop posting all of our happy moments on Facebook and Instagram, but get real with people and say, look, you see where I am now, but if you knew me 14 years ago, or if you knew me 5 years ago when I was in a fetal position or didn't want to open up my blinds, you'd be thinking I was a completely different person. But what I did, I used my gifts and my talents and my skills and my ability, and I began to create content, content that I hoped would encourage, content that I hoped would motivate folks. And that's all that I had to give, like the woman with the oil. What do you have to give? I have nothing but a voice. I have nothing but inspiration. I have nothing but, so give that thing, whatever that thing is, whatever that thing is, I want you to give it out. I want you to give it out. Give it away. You may not be paid for the thing that you're doing right now, but I promise you, you give away good content, money will find you. I tell people, don't chase money, chase meaning, because when you chase meaning, the money has to follow. It is impossible to do the things that you're created to do, the things that God, Daddy God, divinely created you to do, and it not earn you something. It'll earn you popularity, it'll earn you a following, and it eventually will earn you finances if you are consistent and if you are committed. I can make that promise to you because I've lived it. I promise you, I have lived it. When I wasn't getting a check for doing the things that I'm doing, I would volunteer. And believe me, I love acting. I love speaking. I love motivating. I love all of them enough that I do it for free. But I don't have to always do it for free. I get paid to motivate. I get paid to be an MC. I get paid to do poetry. I get paid to share the gospel as an evangelist. I get paid to act on sets and do voice recordings for books and for CDs. I'm excited about it, but don't get it twisted. I still sew. I still have people and places and communities and events that I give it away. Why? Because I know I can never outgive God. And when you know you can never outgive God, that means you're also going to get something back. That means that you've got a return, an ROI. A ROI is a return on investment. I've got a ROI. I can't outgive God. So if I'm sowing my talent and I'm sowing my skill and I'm giving my gifts away, I promise you, somebody's taking notice. And I may speak. I've had events where I went in and they weren't, either they couldn't pay me, it was probably one of those, I'm going to give you a chicken dinner, I'm going to feed you and give you a seat. And I had something that I could share with people. I'd go in, and before I'd leave the event, not only would I sell my products, where I would make more than I probably would have asked for in an offering or an honorarium, but I'd also, someone would come to me and say, I need you to speak here, or, ooh, I've got this event you'd be perfect for, or, hey, can you MC on this date, or can you do spoken word? Because that's how it works. If you are in your house in your own pity party and you're not out and you're not writing that script and you're not writing that show and you're not out telling someone or sharing with others what your gifts or what your talents are, or you're not out volunteering to be an assistant until you can be paid to be an assistant, or you're not out evangelizing until you can be on payroll to be a minister, if you're not out doing the things that you say you want to do, that to the point that you would give it out for free, then you're not even putting yourself in a position for overflow. You're not even putting yourself in a position to be blessed financially by the things you say you want to do. I'm super excited that I get to do what I absolutely love. One of the listeners is saying, oh, my God, I woke up this morning thinking about giving away my balanced living and performance arts coaching for free in March. That's what you got to do, Rosie Reed. That's the right direction. Because, see, when you start sowing into what you want to grow into, when you start investing in the lives of other people, it is absolutely impossible for you to not get an ROI, a return on investment. It's absolutely impossible for you not to get one, because you're not going to be able to outgive God. You can't do it. He's not going to let you outgive him. Hallelujah, Crystal Fox. Focus on what you desire. Yes, use what you have. Yes, chase meaning, because if you chase meaning, the money will definitely follow. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to hold you guys hostage, but I'm hoping that you guys are getting this message. I'm hoping that you're understanding there's a action and a reaction attached to everything we do. And the same goes for the opposite. When you kick shade, when you're sowing hatred, when you're spewing gossip. You know, I was watching this video, and I'm working on this segment that I'm doing for churches that I really want to roll out the latter part of this year. I was watching this video, and it was talking about a person who had gossiped, said some bad things about someone, and they went to court because when they gossiped about this person, the person ended up losing their business. Excuse me, they had gossiped so bad, slandered their name, and so nobody wanted to do business with this business owner anymore, and the business ended up going belly up. So when they went to court, because the business owner sued the person, the judge had the person in front of them who was on trial and said to the person, you know, I'm not going to sentence you right now. What I want you to do is I want you to write down on pieces of paper everything you ever said about the business owner. Every single word you've ever said about the business owner, write it down on a piece of paper. And then on your way home today from the courthouse, when you're driving or on the train or on the bus or on the bike, I want you to toss the pieces of paper out the window of the car or off the train or off the bus or as you're on your bicycle. Just toss it. Just different places. Just toss them. And then come back to me tomorrow. So the man did that. He wrote it all down, wrote it on pieces of paper, tossed it all over the city from where he was at the courthouse until he got home. He came back the next day, and the judge said, I'm not going to sentence you today, but I want you to go back and collect every single word that you just scattered out throughout the city that you said about the person, this business owner. Oh, but Your Honor, they were just words. I wrote them on a piece of paper. I couldn't possibly get them back up. He said, no. You said they were harmless words when you said them. You said, you know, they were just words. So now I want you to go back, gather up each piece of paper that you wrote these negative and these lies on about this business owner. Go back and get them. And the guy said, it's impossible. The wind has blown in places. Some have gone in the gutter. Some have spread all over the place. Some are probably not even in this city anymore. And the judge said, exactly. That's what happens when you spread gossip. When you spread gossip, it doesn't just go into that one ear of that one person that you're talking to. That gossip gets transferred from that person to another person, and then somebody who doesn't even know you, it's then transferred to somebody else, and then that same lie is spread to somebody else, and so on and so on, and it becomes impossible to get back the lie that you spoke about somebody. So I need you to think about that. I once had somebody lie to me, and I'll never forget it. I was at Faithful Central Bible Church in California, and a young lady who was a poet, who was also a minister, she came to me one day after service, repented. She repented to me for having lied on me. She said she lied on me so much to someone in power that they no longer wanted me to minister at their church. And I'm listening to her repent to me, freeing her conscience, airing her pain to me, and I'm having to listen to this and extend grace as she says it, because what she was talking about had taken place over a year or a year and a half time span. And so as she's bearing her heart to me, telling me how she gossiped about me and lied on me to some people in power, to the point that for a whole year, year and a half, I wasn't invited in to minister. And she never went back to correct the lies because, of course, like those, and the rumors were scattered all over the place. She shared with me that she lied on me because a person in power had put me in a position of power, and she was angry that they had chosen me when she had been at the church the longest. And so out of hatred and jealousy and play-a-hating, she had just bad-mouthed someone who did nothing to her. She said the Lord whooped her so bad she would go into churches and my poetry would be playing on the speakers in a church setting. She went to one church, she got there, and the dancers were dancing to one of the songs off my poetry CD, and the woman began to tell me how she wrote poetry. I didn't know she wrote poetry. She never joined my poetry ministry, but she wrote poetry. Why am I sharing all of that? Because the hatred in her heart caused lies to come out of her mouth. The lies that came out of her mouth caused seeds to be sown that were so toxic and so negative. It injured me. It injured my reputation. And even though she repented and came to me and apologized, that one bridge that she had spewed all of this to could never be crossed again. So why am I telling you this? Because your words have weight. So choose them very carefully. Your words have weight. They either build somebody up or they break somebody down. So I hope and pray that the next time you choose to use a word about somebody, you know, my grandmama used to say, if you can't say nothing good, then at all. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. I want to encourage you guys, if you've got a question or a comment, to dial in. We've got someone on the call, on the line. I'm not sure if they're still there. Caller 01-01. Caller 01-01. You're on live with OMG. Go ahead.
Hey, Mara. Hi, who's this? This is Rosie.
Hello?
Reed. Can you hear me?
Hey,
hello?
I can now. Hi, Rosie. How are you?
I'm great, sweetheart. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thanks for calling into OMG. Do you have a question or a comment you'd like to share about hopelessness?
Yes, I'm sure I do.
Or did you just call into?
Well, I called in to tell you how much I am enjoying your show and how much I love you. And how much, and that I set my alarm so that I don't miss it.
Thank you.
Anymore.
Thank you. Rosie Reed is the caller. She's calling in. Hold on, Rosie. Rosie's calling in to say she set her alarm so she doesn't miss my show. So I want to encourage you guys who are listening now on air live or via Facebook, set your alarm. I show every Thursday, 4 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock. Go ahead,
Rose. And you know what's great about this, Mara? Thursday is my day that I have for me. Thursday is a day I don't have to open my door. I don't have to deal with anything. It's like my own day, and I'm pretty selfish with it. So the fact that this goes down on a Thursday is perfect for me.
Awesome.
This is anointed.
Awesome.
This is divine order.
You
know, and
so
about
much.
Hopelessness, sweetheart, what I can say personally is I have been there and there and there and there when it comes to hopelessness.
Yeah.
You know, I only had a few bouts with depression, but I felt hopeless. But what I can say from my experience is that no matter how dark it was, Mara, or how alone I was, not felt, but was, and there is a difference. I never, ever stopped praying or making future plans. Isn't that weird? You can be in a negative space or a dark space, but Mara, I was still, you know, doing my affirmations and writing down my goals and my plans and praying and staying. It's weird because I was maybe weak in one area, but I was staying strong in another area.
Awesome.
You know what I mean? And I never lost my faith in God, even when I lost it in everything else.
Amen.
Because I know that he had brought me through too much. So he wasn't going to fail me now. You know, if God has brought me through 35
fail you back.
He's not going to fail you on the 36th bit.
He will never fail you, baby. And I've seen you. I've seen you continue to push forward and to make things happen. And you are an inspiration to so many. I'm so glad you called in. Thank you so much for sharing that.
And I chatted with the folks on Facebook Live to let them know some of your nuggets, because those were worth knowing and worth noting. She said she stayed strong. She said no matter what area it was, she never lost her faith, and she never gave up. She kept moving forward. And that's what you have to do. You have to keep going forward. You have to keep getting up out of bed. You have to keep remembering to brush your teeth if that's what it is, or get in the shower or do your hair or get outside the house, get outside your situation, because sometimes your situation, your little 4x4, 6x6, 15x15, or 2,000 square foot home can hold you hostage to the thoughts in your mind when you are in a depressed or downtrodden state. Thank you, Rosie Reed, for calling in. I appreciate you so much. You know I love you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Okay, I also have another comment. There's a young lady, Mildred Robinson, and I appreciate this comment. She says, wow. She says when she was diagnosed with a terrible infirmity called fibromyalgia, and I've got a couple of friends who are challenged with that to this day. She said ministry kept her out of that dark place called hopelessness. Whatever I found my hands to do, I did it. And that's a perfect example of what you're supposed to, yes, that's a perfect example of how you're supposed to react when a situation seems overwhelming, when a situation seems too challenging for you. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. Give something away. Do something that has value. Do something that has meaning. Do something less for someone else. It is impossible to keep feeling depressed and to keep feeling sad when you put yourself out there, when what you're saying or what you're doing is motivating, encouraging, inspiring, or helping someone else. Perhaps you just decide in your darkest moment when you don't have money that you do have time. You realize you do have time. If you don't have a job, you at least have some time. And if you've got some time, why don't you go and sow that time and give it to someone else? Perhaps it's a neighbor. You run some errands for the neighbor, or you begin to wash a neighbor's car, or you mow a neighbor's lawn, or you shovel some a neighbor some snow, or you go to the store for a senior in your community or in your area that can't go to the grocery store for themselves. Or while you're at the gas pump, you see a senior who's about to pump their gas, and you say, excuse me, say excuse me now, don't startle them, because you don't want to give nobody a heart attack. Excuse me, I don't want any money. I just want to bless you today. I'll pump your gas for you. Or you're in a grocery store line, and you don't have a lot of money. You got enough to pay for the food you got in front of you, but you got some time. And somebody behind you, you let them go in front of you, because perhaps they're trying to run in and run right out, or they got to go and pick up the kids, or they got to get back to work or something. There are so many ways. Oh, my God. It's limitless options on what you can do to serve other people, to sow into the greater good of things. It is absolutely phenomenal when you get outside of yourself, your situation, and your depression in your dark days, and you begin to do something, because it begins to grow. When you don't have the money that you need and you sow a seed to help somebody, that seed grows in them. And somehow, when you see a smile on somebody else's face, or at least for me, when I've sown in kind and I see a smile looking back at me, it feels like at least today I gave something of value. And I helped someone. I helped someone who really needed what it is that I had. I may have not had the $50 to bail this person out, but I did have something of value to help that one person. So I want to encourage you. Whatever you can do to help other people, whenever you find yourself in a dark or depressed state, sow your way out of it. And then last but not least, I'd like to spend the last couple of minutes of this open air show, because I like to unpack things. I want to talk about the importance of mental health, the importance of counselors, the importance of not just allowing your barbershop guy or your beauty shop woman to be your counselor. There's a reason that people have degrees to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist. They have some tools that we may not have. Some challenges, problems, some situations, in order to fully unpack them and get to the root issue, because some trauma, some injuries
have happened over and over and over. If you cut my arm in the same place 20 times, it's gonna take a long time to heal, if it ever heals, because before I can heal properly, the wound is re-injured. And some of us have had injuries in the same space or the same place for so long that we don't realize your beauty shop, your beautician is not able to handle that problem. Your barber is not able to help you out of that problem. And I'm not saying you can't go to God and you can't read God's word, because his word has the answers to every situation. And you can go to church and you can feel better and you can be encouraged. And there are counselors at church that can help you. But I'm also saying, set an appointment with a counselor at church, or set an appointment with someone who deals with mental health, a psychiatrist, a therapist, a psychologist. Set an appointment with someone who has more tools in their toolbox that can help you navigate whatever path you're on. Don't go at it alone. Don't go at it alone. Mental health is real. Some traumas need professional help. You're absolutely right. That is it. That's real. That's straight no chaser. And I won't look at you sideways for going to get help. I'll look at you like you're a smart individual, one who knows when a problem is bigger than they are, one who understands when an obstacle seems like you can't conquer it, a mountain too big that you don't feel you can get over it. That's called wisdom. When you realize that something is bigger than you, something you can't handle, and you've got to give it to someone else, you've got to help somebody. It's like this. It's like your hands being tangled together in a knot, and you can't seem to make sense of it, and you're flipping it over in your mind, and you're trying to weigh it, and you're trying to process it, and some things are so tangled and so contorted that you won't be able to make sense. It takes somebody who can actually process it, sit down and say, oh, when was the first time you may have seen that? Or when was the last time that situation occurred where you felt this lost or this hopeless or this depressed? Some of our hurts and traumas go back to when we were a kid, having daddy issues or having mommy issues or having whatever issues or boyfriend issues or girlfriend broke your heart. Some things are so far back that you don't even realize those are the foundation, the root of the problems that you're dealing with now. Some people keep wondering why they keep going from relationship to relationship to relationship, or why they keep attracting the same type of person. And something in your past may have become a blueprint etched in your mind and your heart that's causing you to seek out the very thing that's causing you pain. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. There's a way to unpack that. There's a way to start pruning that out of your life. There's a way to actually look at it with fresh eyes, clear eyes, and have some tools to work your way through it. But it won't happen if you never take the time to self-assess, unpack the things in your past, and perhaps for some, get some help. Get some help so that you can grow in the areas you're supposed to grow in. I've totally enjoyed sharing this show with you tonight. Again, the show is on every single Thursday. Sometimes I do it live on Facebook, but every single Thursday it takes place at UpToMeRadio.com. That's UpToMeRadio.com. You can also catch my podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and the Stitcher app. Next Thursday, I will have Coach Adams, Shania Adams, on my show. And the following Thursday, Pastor Gerald January, my fantastic pastor and husband, will be my special guest on March the 7th. So be sure to tune in, lean in, and listen up on next Thursday at 4 o'clock Pacific Standard, 6 o'clock Central, and at 7 o'clock Eastern on next Thursday, February the 28th, and on the following Thursday. Don't want to miss Coach Shania Adams, and you don't want to miss Pastor Gerald January Sr. Again, I'm Mara Gale. You can find me everywhere on social media at Mara Gale. My website is maragale.com. I've got a Christian CD called Ear Candy that's available, only $10. I also have a DVD for our film at stemthemovement.org. That's stemthemovement.org. It's about Three Women's Journey. We're transparent, we're open, we're honest, but most of all, we allow you to see our scars, cuts, and bruises so that you realize we operate in a no-shame zone and that you are never alone. I pray that you're blessed, I pray that you're encouraged, and I pray that you begin to serve someone so into what you want to grow into, because it is impossible to outgive God, all right? God bless you. Be encouraged. Here comes the extra music on the way out. Till next time, thanks for listening in.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to, so we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m.